Just as we look at his word. Lord, I thank thee tonight that it is our many of our experience tonight that he lifted us. He's lifted us out of the miry clay and he's planted our feet upon a rock. He's established our going and put a new song in our mouth. Even praise unto your God. And so, God, tonight as we turn to your word just now, we pray that as pages would change before us. Pray that you would give help, O God, just now. And pray the Spirit of God would speak and move and bring sons to glory for Christ's sake. Amen. I want you to turn, please, tonight to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 10, the Gospel of Mark and chapter 10. The Gospel of Mark and chapter 10. And verse 46, just a story right at the end of this great chapter in the Gospel. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word in public tonight. Lord Jesus, when he was on this scene of time during his earthly ministry, he told 39 parables. I think it was Simon reminded us last Sunday morning as he spoke to the boys and girls how a parable is a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. How right that is. 39 parables. Then when he was on this scene of time through his earthly ministry, he performed miracles. He done things that no one else could ever do or ever have done. You'll excuse me using the word tonight, supernatural things perhaps. Things that no one else was able to do. He was God. And so he was able to do these miracles. And he done 37 miracles. When you read the four Gospels and put them all together, collate them all together, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 37 miracles were performed. And if you put them all in chronological order, which is a very big word for me, it means in order that they happen. This is miracle number 20 of 37. Indeed, his words were oracles and his deeds were miracles. One day, John the Baptist, in Matthew chapter 11, he was in prison. And as he was in prison for speaking against Herod, he sent his disciples to find Jesus. And in verse 3 of chapter 11, he said to his disciples, I want you to go out, and he says, I want you to find the Lord, and I want you to ask him this question, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And so that's what happened. John's disciples, they went out, and they found the Lord Jesus at Galilee, and they asked him this question, art thou that should come, or should we look for another? And the Lord answered them in this way. He says, go and tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. This great miracle took place in Jericho, that city of Jericho. It was a dirty city, Jericho. Dusty, known for its dust and its dirt. Do you remember how the children of Israel, when Joshua, the leadership of Joshua, the first city they came to as they crossed over was the land of Jericho. And here was, or the city of Jericho, and here was Jericho, and the Lord Jesus was passing through it. It was 5 miles west of the Jordan River, and about 18 miles from the city of Jerusalem, this little city, this little town of Jericho. And on this particular day, the Lord Jesus was passing through Jericho, and he had an encounter with this man called Bartimaeus. I want to think about him tonight for a moment or two at the end for me. I want you to think first of all about his name, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. Now you can either break it up to understand the meaning of his name. Bar, B-A-R, means son. So he was someone's son. Timaeus means unclean. So he hadn't a great start in life, this man. Sure he hadn't. His name means son of the unclean. Bartimaeus. He hadn't a good start. Here was a man and he was blind. He was broke. He was begging. But somebody cared about him enough to go every morning and bring him from his house or his home or whatever that was. He can't see it, but very plush. And they brought him because he was blind, and they took him by the hand and they brought him to the side of the highway, and there he sat from morning to night begging. Perhaps just a small cap or some small bowl or dish in his hand, and all day he sat with his bowl or his cap out just begging. Just a few pence, just to get something to eat. Of course, there was no welfare state, there was no brew money, DLA, or anything like this. And here was a man, and he sat in this dirty town every day of his wretched life. People walked past, and the dirt was kicked in his face and all around him. And for days and months and years, it just was the same. But then, one day, Jesus came. I want you to think, first of all, about the crowd. Verse 46 tells us that they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, a great crowd. You see, people move in crowds, don't they? Numbers attract numbers. If you're walking up the street and there's a gathering, people tend to go to the gathering to see what's going on. Out of curiosity, or maybe nosiness. But anyway, nevertheless, crowds gather crowds, numbers gather numbers. And here was a crowd, and they were moving. They were following, they were moving, this crowd. And yet today it hasn't changed. The crowd goes on, don't it? The great crowd of life. There's almost 8 billion people on this planet tonight, and every one of them's on a journey, just like this crowd. And I'm on a journey of life, and you're on the journey of life. And every one of us know what day our journey began, our date of birth. You know your date of birth, and I know my date of birth. But yet, there's none of us know the day that our journey will end. The Bible has a lot to say about this journey. The Bible has a lot to say about the shortness of our life, because in the Old Testament it reminds us that our life is just like a tale that is told. When you set the children down or put the children in the bed at night, you read them a tale. It just takes a moment or two. Our life's just like a tale that's told. Our life, the psalmist says, is like a weaver's shuttle. A weaver's shuttle. A weaver's shuttle just goes up the linen, doesn't up the machine, and back very quickly again. Our life is like a weaver shuttle. James says in his little epistle that our life is like a vapor. appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away, like the steam of the kettle. Like the morning mist, we go out in the mornings, there's a mist, and then just a starry slight breeze comes and the mist is gone. James says, our life's like a vapor. What is your life? He asks a great question. What's your life? Just like a vapor. Appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. This great crowd on the road of life. And we're all on the road of life. And for many today, the road, the journey of life has finished. The Belfast Telegraph, the newsletter, the Funeral Times on the internet, all remind us of the briefness of life. The hymn writer said, life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheep. Be in time. The crowd. I want you to think of his condition. Verse 46 goes on to tell us that a great number of people and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. We have the crowd. We have his condition. You see, here was a man and he was blind and he was begging. He was poor. He was ignored each day of his life. And each of us inside ourselves have a sinful condition. The Bible tells us that we were born in sin. And we were shapen in iniquity. In sin did each of our mothers conceive us. The great sin in the Garden of Eden and the curse of sin has passed upon all men. And down through the generations of time, everyone's condition is the same. We're all sinners. And you're a sinner, and I'm a sinner, and we're all sinners. And everybody listening over the internet tonight, no matter what part of the world you watch us from tonight, this great plague and curse of sin has cursed the whole world. Every one of us are born with the same condition, shaped in iniquity, the vileness, the filthiness, the seriousness, the awfulness of sin. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. Sin pays bad wages, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Sin outward, or outward sin. Sin inward, or inward sin. When we talk to the children, we portray sin as the blackness of darkness. And rightly so. And this sin that each of us have must be dealt with. Because if our sin is not dealt with inside of us, each of us will end up in hell for a lost eternity. That's what the scripture tells us. That's not the opinion of Lurgan Baptist Church. It's not the opinion of the oversight, the elders, the deacons, or the members here. It's what the Bible tells us. God's word tells us that the wages of sin, and we must pay the wages of sin because we were born in sin. And so to pay the wages of sin, we must die. And death is passed upon all men for all of sin. And all have come short of the glory of God. What a terrible condition we have. And our sin will take us to hell forever. Eternal punishment. Remember that young man in Luke's gospel found himself in hell and in a lost eternity. Just ask that one little drip of water could be put on the end of Lazarus' finger and just touch his tongue for 1 millisecond. That he could perhaps find some little piece of comfort in that awful place. The call, the crowd, the condition. Notice the cry in verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. What a cry. I wonder tonight in the meeting, would you cry out to the Lord? I was thinking about Peter. And Peter was in the boat that night on the Sea of Galilee. And the storm brewed up. And the wind and the rain. And Peter was a hardened fisherman. He knew Galilee inside out. He knew every square foot, square meter of the Sea of Galilee. He had fished on it for 25 years and more. And yet this night within his heart there was a great fear. And then the Lord came. Do you remember? And he's walking on the water and Peter got out of the boat, at least he had the courage to get out, and he began to walk towards the Lord. And do you remember how he began to sink? Now, he didn't sink. He began to sink. And he just cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. You know, that's all you have to do tonight. It's not some big, long, fancy prayer. It's not some catechism or chapters and chapters. It's just a cry of a sincere heart tonight. And Peter was dropping all the time, wasn't he? Inch by inch by inch. And he just cried out and he just put his big fisherman's hand out and he said, Lord, Lord, save me. Do you remember the thief on the cross? And he was helpless. His nails, his hands were nailed to the cross. His feet were nailed to the cross. He couldn't move. He was at the end of life. No hope. And then he realized that the only one could help him was on the cross beside him. And he said, Lord, remember me. Peter said, Lord, save me. The thief said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What would the cry of your heart be tonight? Just a cry. And yet there was one who cried upon the cross in the blackness of darkness of the moments at Calvary. He cried from his holy soul, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And alone in the darkness he cried to God. And God poured the great wrath and punishment and guilt of sin upon the soul and upon the breast of a Savior, of our Savior, his Son upon the cross. And he was forsaken upon the cross so we not might not be forsaken forever. Oh, the cry from the cross. And the great cry of accomplishment finished upon the cross. The great price of redemption was paid. The great path to God was paved at Calvary. There's a way back to God tonight from the dark paths of sin. And there's a door that's opened and all may go in. And at Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Reach out and touch the Lord. As he walks by, you'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he walks by. The crowd, the condition, the cry. You'll notice that they tried to calm him. Verse 48. And he charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know what they were saying? Hold your peace. Shh. Don't disrupt the Savior. Keep quiet, man. They tried to calm him. Try to hold his peace. You know, the crowd will always try to keep you quiet, won't they? They'll always try to calm you. And sometimes people will try and put you off. And here's a man, and he was going to make it his business to see Jesus this day. And they know they try to put him off. And they try to keep him quiet. Listen, the Savior's too busy. And you're too helpless. It's not for you. Hold your peace. Some other time. Maybe the next time he's passing. But the Lord wouldn't pass again. The Lord was on his way to Calvary. Friend, in the meeting tonight, let me tell you something, or over the sound of the internet, with all the love in my heart that I can tonight, don't let anybody or anything keep you from God's salvation. And the devil will put things in your way. And he hates the preaching of the gospel. And he tries to blind the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel would shine in. And if you're in the meeting tonight and you have any thoughts at all of salvation, don't let anything stand in your way. C.S. Lewis wrote, in that book, the Screwtape Letters, you remember. He told the story of the demons having the meeting. And the young demon, they were conferring how they would keep people from salvation, from the Saviour. And one demon said, "We'll tell people that there's no God." And one spoke up and said, "How can you tell people there's no God? People know there's a God. People look at creation and they look around creation, they know and they realise that there is a God. That's silly. You can't tell people there's no God." And then one demon said, "Well, what about telling them there's no cross?" And then another said, "No, you can't tell them there's no cross. It's a historical fact. The history books record it. That Jesus died on the cross. People know that there was a cross." Another one spoke up. They said, "I have a good idea. We'll tell them there's plenty of time." And that's the greatest lie that the devil uses today. There's plenty of time. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Paul, as he writes to Corinth, says this. He says, "Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." The only time that's mentioned in the Bible in link with salvation is now. Now. Maybe God's been dealing with you in the days that are past. It was our privilege last Sunday night for a young lady to come to know the Saviour after the meeting. Get right with God tonight. We have as the crowd, we have the condition, we have the cry. They tried to calm him, listen to his call. Verse 47, he said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus said, "Ask them to be called," and he came. Jesus, verse 49, stood still and commanded him to be called. And the call of the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Maybe tonight he's calling you. And if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. What an invitation the Saviour gave. He said, "Come." He said, "Call him. Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee." Tonight, you could be down in the pit of sin. He calleth for thee. Tonight, you could be so low that you think you can't get up. He calleth for thee. Perhaps tonight, you've got deeper into sin than you thought you'd ever be. Rise. He calls for thee tonight. Tonight, perhaps you think you're at the end of the line and out at wit's end corner. Rise. He calls for thee tonight. He calls for thee. He's coming tonight for thee. Don't miss him. Don't miss the call. We have the crowd, the condition, the cry. He was calmed, the call. Notice is coming. This is a great verse. This is the pinnacle in the verse. This finished it for me. Look at this. Verse 15. "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." I had intended to keep my coat on and take it off at this stage, but it was that warm when I come in. I couldn't do it. He took his coat off and he threw it away and he came to Jesus. You know, you need to get rid of that old coat tonight. You need to get rid of the coat of sin tonight. And you need to replace it tonight with the garments of salvation. And I don't know what coat you've had on. Perhaps there's some addiction, this coat that you'd on, this old coat. Perhaps it's alcohol. And perhaps it was drugs. Perhaps it was sexual sin. Tonight, get rid of the old coat. Get it away tonight. Throw it off. And put on the new coat tonight. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. We have the crowd. We have the condition. We have the cry. He's calmed. He's called. He's coming tonight. Look at the charge. Great question tonight. Jesus said, verse 51, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." This man had great faith. He knew the Lord could heal him. He knew the Lord could heal his physical condition. He was blind. He was in darkness. And yet he knew the Lord could heal his spiritual condition as well, because he, in his heart and his soul, he was in the blackness of darkness as well. And he had great faith. And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." The Lord asked tonight, "What will I do for thee?" Do you remember that Philippian jailer that night in Acts chapter 16 in the jail in Philippi and the earthquake? And do you remember he came in trembling before Paul and Silas and he fell down and he cried, "What must I do to be saved?" Great question. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." He'll answer all your questions tonight. Maybe your question is, "I'll not be able to keep it." Don't you worry about keeping it. You get to the Lord tonight and you get salvation and he'll do the keeping. And maybe there's things in your life and you think you'll not be able to give them up. Don't worry about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. You know what it means? Everything else will jigsaw into place. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The crowd, his condition, his cry, calmed. The call, the coming, the charge, listen, he was changed. Verse 52, Jesus said, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received the sight and followed Jesus in the way. Go thy way. Immediately he received the sight. He followed Jesus in the way. He went from the place where there was no light, and he received the sight, and he went to the place where there was no darkness. Because God is light, John says. And in him there is no darkness at all. He can mend the brokenhearted tonight, and he can heal your ruined life tonight. And I wonder, like the blind man, are you willing to come tonight? Because there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Wonder would your prayer be tonight, "Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. Hear my humble cry. While on others are calling, do not pass me by." Will you come to Christ tonight? Let's pray, and then Andrew's going to sing. Our God and Father, we thank thee tonight for the message of the gospel. We thank thee that men in darkness can come into the kingdom of light and God's dear Son. And we do pray, O God, that thy saving grace would be made manifest tonight. Give someone the courage to take the step to Jesus tonight. Bring the saving grace. Defeat the work of the evil one. And may the light of the glorious gospel shine in the darkened heart, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Thanks, Denver.
It was going to be a guitar piece, but I've changed it. And I feel safer behind Lynn here. It's psychological, I know, but you can't throw stuff at me. But pass me not, O gentle Saviour.
Anyone tonight, talk to myself or maybe it's a female, maybe it's a lady, and you'd rather speak to some of the ladies in the meeting. Well, that's very possible. If you want to speak to me tonight about anything that's been said, well, we're just your servant. I can't see.